I'm here to speak on behalf of Ms. Elias, who also works with the Attorney General's office. She's out sick today and cannot attend oral argument. I can't make argument on her behalf, but I'm here to just say that the state will rest on its briefing.
Okay, excellent. That was going to be my question. So given that...
And good morning. May it please the court, my name is Neil Kingsley. I'm here on behalf of Petitioner Thomas Ogden. Your Honor, this case is premised on some basic facts, which are that the petitioner was a police officer whose police officer certification was revoked by the Criminal Justice Training Commission after a finding of default. And from the perspective of petitioner, this is despite the fact that the commission had no jurisdiction because Mr. Ogden had already surrendered his peace officer certification, which deprived the commission of having jurisdiction in this matter. Now, Mr. Ogden deserves his day in court here, or alternatively, the court should find that the commission lost jurisdiction over this matter once Mr. Ogden had voluntarily surrendered his certification. It's longstanding in Washington that default judgments are not favored and that cases should be resolved on their merits. Mr. Ogden was involved in this case. It was only by mistake of his counsel, Mr. Ferkins at the time, and not of Mr. Ogden, that he was not present at the first day of his hearing. His counsel, in fact, was present, fully prepared to defend him, had submitted a pre-hearing brief, and was prepared to go forward with the case on its merits.
Is there a rule that says he has to be there?
Sort of, Your Honor. WAC 13906.100 requires that a peace officer appear in person at a hearing, but it doesn't state that the peace officer needs to be present for the entire hearing, particularly when he's represented by counsel, and particularly when the commission, as it is maintained here, that the counsel can make representations on Mr. Ogden's behalf without him being present through other portions of the process. Mr. Ogden did request a continuance, which was denied. He then signed a waiver saying that he would be present on the second day of the hearing, which was also denied by the counsel. And it is undisputed in these circumstances that the commission's case was going to take more than a single day, simply because they'd already informed everyone that one of their witnesses was not even going to testify until the morning of the second day. So there would have been no delay, and the commission would have suffered zero prejudice by allowing Mr. Ogden's attorney to proceed on his behalf in this matter, simply because his attorney could have been present to cross-examine the witnesses that were there, could have proceeded to put on his case, and then when it was time for Mr. Ogden to appear, he would have been present in the courtroom. The commission would not have suffered any prejudice and could have rendered a ruling and simultaneously provided due process to Mr. Ogden by giving him his day in court.
So the commission would have been, or the state would have been proceeding, would have been initiating the process and going first, even though Mr. Ogden is the petitioner? I just haven't explored the peculiarities of this process. Who goes first?
And my apologies, Your Honor, since I was not the attorney that argued at the time, but my understanding from the record is that in this circumstance, the commission was going to put on its case first, and then Mr. Ogden would not be putting on his case until the second day of the proceeding. And again, his attorney would have been present the entire time to represent his interests, as had been going on through the rest of the case.
Is there anything on the record about why the commission took this precipitous action?
By precipitous, do you mean the finding of default?
Yeah.
The commission decided that because Mr. Ogden had received a one-day notice of the hearing through his attorney, even though he was required to be out of state at that time, Mr. Ogden could have been present, and therefore he was voluntarily not present, and it was defaulted him.
What did they say about the waiver? Anything?
I believe the commission said that they were simply not going to accept the waiver on the basis of WAC 13906.100.
Counsel, talk about what your client offered as justification for not appearing at the hearing.
Justification for the...
His failure to appear on day one. His declaration had an itinerary?
That is correct, Your Honor. He was required to be out of state for pursuing...
Well, you say required, but he had planned a business trip, but my understanding is that the record doesn't demonstrate that, in fact, he didn't have discretion to reschedule, that, in fact, he hadn't paid for tickets, hadn't committed irrevocably, and so he still had an option to appear at the hearing, and he exercised his own discretion to not appear at the hearing?
My understanding of the facts, Your Honor, is that had Mr. Ogden chosen to exercise his discretion and appear at the hearing, he would have suffered some fairly severe financial detriments.
You don't have a record that supports that. You have a record that supports he printed an itinerary and said, see, but no proof of payment?
Unfortunately not, Your Honor. And, again, I agree the court is stuck with
the record.
So the record
asks us to choose between he said, I can't be there, and the commission saying, you must be there, and he didn't show up. That's the context of your good cause argument.
That is correct, Your Honor, but I'm not sure that the court even needs to get to that point because of the other issues going on in his case, particularly regarding the representation of Mr. Ogden and whether or not his attorney was permitted to represent him without him being present during the rest of the hearing. But we also need to address the fact that Mr. Ogden's position is that the commission had no jurisdiction over individuals that had surrendered their license, so this proceeding should not have even gone forward in the first place due to the fact that the commission had no jurisdiction. Administrative bodies are creatures of statute, and there is no regulation permitting the commission to deny a either surrender or withdrawal of a certification. And I don't believe there's any authority that compels someone to maintain a certification in this state.
There's no authority that says by surrendering it they lose jurisdiction over you.
Well, the commission's authority is limited by RCW 43.101.0856 and 0953 in this case to either grant, deny, revoke, or revoke a certification or to establish requirements for a certification. That is the extent of the power that was given to it by the legislature here. It doesn't say that it has the ability to do anything else, particularly if someone has surrendered their certification.
Grant, deny, or what?
Grant, deny, or revoke a certification. So those are...
Let's use the appellate rules. Now, maybe they should apply both ways, which is we don't have opposing counsel here to discuss this. But if you use the appellate rules, once you invoke the jurisdiction of the Court of Appeals, you're stunk. You don't get to go away unless we tell you you can go away. And the fact that both parties want to go away doesn't matter either. We can go ahead and decide the case. And it seems to me where there's jurisdiction and a commission to revoke, there may be circumstances where, indeed, the state wants to proceed to revoke certification for cause. They'd have to have cause in any event. And that you don't get to unilaterally make that decision once some party. Who gets to invoke the jurisdiction of the commission in a circumstance such as this? Both parties? The state?
I would suggest that it is both parties, Your Honor, particularly if you compare the statutes that exist here to those statutes that exist dealing with teachers in the state. They're written very similarly. If you look at RCW 28A410010, and in that circumstance, based on that kind of line of statutes, it is permissible for teachers to voluntarily withdraw their certification in order to avoid OSPI proceeding with a finding against them. And again, this is very different than, say, an appellate process in which there are rules in place specifically addressing these kind of factors, whether or not a party can drop out, whether or not the court can proceed with making a decision in the matter. And this is very different than other circumstances in which... Oh, no. My apologies, Your Honor. I always believed that there were. Okay. Well, I would also...
It's here. It's a matter of jurisdiction. And the question is whether the same concern about jurisdiction would apply in the case of the commission. Now, if the statute with respect to the jurisdiction of OSI over teacher certificates allows the teacher to withdraw or surrender the certificate and terminate the proceedings, well, this legislature could change that. Perhaps it should. I mean, some of the concerns are the same, is my point. And one statute's enacted some 1 year and another one many years later in terms of the history of the whole process. But it's an interesting inquiry. And it does go to whether or not they can require him to be present, I suspect.
I agree with that, Your Honor, and I think it has to do with the interest that's at stake there. I'm going to operate under the assumption that many cases that appear before this court tend to have more import in general in terms of precedential value to the state of Washington than it does here.
99.9% of the time, we don't let you go away. We do. But there are circumstances where, having done so, we regret it, and perhaps, you know, you need to think about those consequences.
Certainly, Your Honor, and that is not the case here. If Mr. Ogden had ever attempted to regain a certification to act as a public police officer in this state, the commission had full authority at that time to examine all the prior proceedings under their statutes. They were not deprived of any ability to future revoke his certification here. And again, this is very different than a situation involving other types of professional licenses that are licensed under the statutes referenced by the commission, by the state in this circumstance, and that Mr. Ogden here was a public employee while he was employed here, similar to teachers. The other professions that were referenced here, may I continue, Your Honor?
Yes, sir. Finish your thought.
The other professions that were referenced here are professions that operate independently in the community, and therefore the legislature chose to give those boards more oversight simply to protect the public here. Here, Mr. Ogden was constantly operating under public oversight in theory because he was a police officer.
That's an interesting argument. Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.